Locked On Nuggets. I'm your host, Matt Moore. You can follow me on Twitter, at HB Basketball. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Nuggets. Coming to you after the Nuggets' third moral victory of the season versus the Los Angeles Lakers as they fall 3-1 in actuality in the season series as Kyle Kuzma hits a game-winning three-pointer over the outstretched very long arms of Bol Bol to win 124-121 in a game that was pretty hilarious because the Lakers had to try really hard to beat the Nuggets reserves. This episode is brought to you today by sportsbetting.com. Enter the free $1 million pick'em contest by visiting sportsbetting.com/lockedonnuggets. That's sportsbetting.com/lockedonnuggets for a chance to win $1 million. All right, so we'll break down this game. We'll talk about what happened at the end. We will talk about Michael Malone's decision not to play the starters at the end of the game, which he kind of forecasted before the game. We'll talk about what we saw from the bench. We will talk about what this game meant for the Nuggets standing. In the final segment, I'll give you an update on the scenarios for Denver as far as who they're playing. Spoiler alert, no idea. It's very much up in the air because of how things have shaken out. It's going to be an entertaining final 4 days of the regular season. But rest assured, the Nuggets will still be in a good spot no matter what. Let's talk big picture about this game. So from the very get-go, the big picture thing I kind of want to stress here is I think this game was a real step forward in terms of being able to hang with the Lakers. Now, LeBron said after the game, he's like, I'm not in playoff mode yet. You know, it's a mental thing. Physically, I'm almost there. But mentally, I'm really not. And I think that's definitely true. And I think that Danny Green will probably be sharper. Rajon Rondo, when he comes back, even though he's sometimes not very good, will still be sharper. Jared Dudley will have a higher level of execution. But a lot of the Lakers have no real experience in terms of stepping up their game in the playoffs. Anthony Davis has never made a deep playoff run. He doesn't have a playoff mode. That's not true. Kyle Kuzma does not have a playoff mode. That's not the case. Alex Caruso, same kind of deal. They have a lot of unproven guys. And so, as such, I think it's important, you know, KCP, by the way, another guy that fits that mold. The Nuggets have hung with this team every time. They have been there with a position, with an opportunity to win these games late and have not been able to get the job done. This one was obviously different given that they rested starters. The starters obviously were phenomenal. Look, you know, Michael Porter Jr. was 6 of 6 from the field, 15 points. Paul Millsap, 13 points, 5 of 7 from the field. Nikola Jokic, only 12 points, played 25 minutes, 4 of 7. Probably want to see a little bit more out of Joker. Torrey Craig didn't have a great night. He was a minus 9, 3 of 8 from the field. Jamal Murray, 6 of 10 from the field. He had 14 points in 24 minutes. So none of these guys really had huge games. Everyone got kind of equal distribution of minutes. Everybody played under 25 minutes except for Nikola Jokic. And there are positives and negatives. The Nuggets kept coming back at them, just kept finding ways to crawl back in this game. Lost by 6 in that first quarter, came back and won the second quarter by 1. They won the third quarter by 5. They were in position that if they played starters, they could have closed this game out. They had a lead late. Even if they put, if Malone puts them back in the final 2 minutes, they'd probably win the game. Like, that's just the reality. It's like, you have PJ Dozier at the end of the game trying to make a contested fadeaway versus Anthony Davis. Surprise, surprise, it didn't work out. Although, PJ Dozier played great. Like, the bench was the most fun part of this game. Was, you know, really, I thought Kata Bates-Diop finally had a good night. 4 of 8 from the field, 10 points, 4 rebounds. Adam Mares can shove it. Because I thought he was really good. He had a huge three-pointer that set them up with an opportunity to win the game. Dozier was excellent. I thought he played extremely well defensively, offensively, and we got Bol Bol. We got 21 minutes of Bol Bol with 2 of 5 for 8 points along with 5 rebounds. And yeah, he was muscled by the Lakers. And yeah, Kuzma hit the final shot, but he delivered some brilliant passes, including a full court outlet pass that was right on the money, Mason Plumlee. Plumlee then returned the favor with an over-the-shoulder transition throw to Bol. It was a lot of fun watching them play. Mason Plumlee played his face off tonight. Just while all the rest of the guys are kind of getting rest, Mason is the one that keeps having to, like, play these long stretches. Bear in mind, the bench closed the last 15 minutes of this game. If they'd gone to overtime, it would have been into 20. So let's talk about why that happened. Before the game, Malone said, look, we want to win, but I'm paraphrasing. My guys are all in the red. The conditioning and training staff of the Nuggets have evaluations that they use, and that's a combination of physical examination, talking to the players about how tired they are, and biometric data from practices, scrimmages, shoot around, whatever, that tracks how they are feeling, that how they are doing, what kind of condition they are in. And it was pretty clear that after that double overtime game, they were tired. Like, they were tired. And after a four-month layoff and a weird transition and all the back and forth with guys being missing and then trying to get back in shape, it's just been off. And with Jamal Murray, obviously, limping, dragging around that leg in the Jazz game as he led them to a victory, they needed to be careful with minutes. They needed to be careful. Joker's another one. You just need to not run him down. The only exception I kind of have to this is I think you should have kept MPJ in. If you are a person that believes MPJ should play as much as possible, which I'm pretty sure everybody in Nuggets Nation is a part of that group now, this was a good sign for you because Malone did not treat him differently. Malone did not put Porter Jr. back in at the end of this game. He didn't include him in that final run. He didn't give Katabase Diop a run and then be like, we might be able to win with this just with MPJ. MPJ's young, and he still got him the same kind of rest that the starters got. That's very notable to me, that MPJ was treated as a starter in this regard. Now, sure, that's because he's been starting, right? And he's tired, just like those other guys are tired, and that's part of it. But Porter Jr. being younger, I think also I would have been not surprised if it had been like, let's let the kid play us out because Barton's going to come back eventually, and he's probably losing some minutes. Like, this is a good sign for the idea that MPJ is so important, he has to sit, even when he's 6-6 from the field. Now, I do think, like, hey, maybe we need to get him more than 6 shots. Like, that's a thing that probably needs to happen. I think we've seen 2 games now where his usage and availability of shots has decreased in part since the return of Jamal Murray, and that's notable. Like, that's definitely a thing. Their chemistry is not 100% yet. They're still not playing together much. But I do think that there's still real opportunities for growth there, and that Porter Jr. obviously played well. Didn't rebound as well tonight. This is the other problem with the Lakers. I've talked about this consistently, that the Lakers present a problem that no other team does with their size. The Nuggets can't bully them. The Nuggets can't out-rebound them. The Nuggets can't combat their lobs. It's a problem. This matchup is an issue. And the loss tonight moves them closer to the likelihood of them playing the Lakers in the second round. They're still in a position to where if they win 1 of 2, they're going to be fine. We'll talk about that in the third segment. But it's at least on the table now that Houston can pass them. And they can wind up in a 4-5 matchup, which is fine. They can take the Thunder or the Jazz, or, by the way, the Mavericks are also a possibility there. Again, we'll get to that later. But it would be much better if they could just take care of business. This was an opportunity to do that. Malone made the bigger picture move, and that's been a problem for him historically. So on some level, we can't really complain because you have to put the guys' bodies and health first. Just like you have to put your health and your body first. And that's why you got to take care of yourself with stuff like CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. You got the CBD Freeze with menthol. It's an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. The CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support that you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try out this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA, for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. When we come back, we'll talk more about this game, what it means for the big picture, what this means for the Lakers matchup, etc. All of that and more when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. We'll be right back. right, back here on Locked On Nuggets. After yet another loss to Los Angeles Lakers, 124-121. A valiant effort by the bench falls short. As Bol Bol throws some sick dimes, Michael Porter Jr. goes 6 of 6. All of this happens, but the Lakers put up 124 points, shoot 54% from the field, 48% from three, outscore the Nuggets by three from three-point range on that last three-pointer, mind you. They also shot, you're never going to believe this, they shot more free throws. Nine more free throws for the Los Angeles Lakers. They made only four more, but the number that they were able to shoot definitely is a big part of why this matchup is going to be a problem. So let's look at the big picture. All right, they lose that first matchup to the Lakers, and it's a tough one. The Nuggets had their chances, but they got beat. The second one, LeBron sits, and the Nuggets win because the Nuggets can beat the Lakers if they don't have LeBron. Turns out the best player in the world, or one of the best players in the world, however you want to describe LeBron freaking James, is important. Third matchup, that one before the All-Star break. Overtime, nail-biter, could have gone either way, got a series of bad calls. This game, no Will Barton, no Gary Harris, no Jeremy Grant, not mind you, and they still drag this team. Still drag this team to the very last bucket. Would it have helped to win this game? For their seeding purposes, yes. For a confidence boost, maybe. I don't think it's bad to lose, because I think it's better if the Lakers continue to think of the Nuggets as, no, they're good. Yeah, no, they're good too. I mean, we're going to beat them. You know, we're the Lakers, and they're the Nuggets. But good team. Jokic is good. That MPJ kid can shoot. Jamal's tough. That's what you want. Like, you want the Lakers as confident as humanly possible going into that matchup. That said, look, the defense is going to have to be better. There's no way for the defense to be good enough without Gary Harris on the floor. And honestly, Will's missing a lot here too. And I think that you can swap interchangeably Harris and Barton, because with Barton, you're getting more size, and that naturally is going to make you better. And with Harris, you're getting a better defender because he's great defensively. Harris and Millsap, whenever they're on the court together, like, good things happen defensively. That's just been the pattern for the Nuggets, is that when those two share the court together, the defense is pretty good. And when they don't, then the defense is pretty bad. Like, we've seen this enough now to have a good sense of it. I don't think that they're all world together. I don't think that this is like Rudy Gobert and Kawhi Leonard. I'm just saying that for the Nuggets, if they're going to have any sort of chance, they are going to have to really have all of their guys. And that's a big deal. And they don't have all their guys. They were missing two power forwards tonight. And that's, you know, kind of a big deal for a team that is built on beating you with multiple weapons. By the way, this season, Paul Millsap and Gary Harris have a 101.9 defensive rating. That's about 12 points better than what it is without them. Like, it's stark how much better they are defensively when they have those two guys. Like, the floor just raises considerably. And honestly, like, I think that Grant can get there. I think that it's possible for those two guys to get to a better place. Now, Harris and Grant this season had a 113.8 defensive efficiency. That's not good. That's really bad. Those lineups didn't work because Grant's not as smart of a defender, right? I do think that there's capacity, though, for these things to work out long-term as Grant gets better and more comfortable in the system and et cetera, et cetera. They didn't play as many minutes either, right? So I think a lot of this is just, if they're going to get stops, it's going to have to be team-oriented in terms of stopping the three. They can't be getting beat but from three-point range by the Lakers. They don't shoot enough of those. They're shooting more in this environment, but that's still like a really big problem. I maintain, and I've said this for the entire season, if you listen to the show, and I will keep saying it, there's not going to be any sort of shift from me on this. If the Nuggets can beat the Clippers, I do believe that. I don't think they can get past the Lakers. I just don't think they can beat them 4 out of 7 times. It's not because of this game. This game was hilarious, okay? Like, they're celebrating and freaking out because Kuzma and, like, JR's in the locker room dousing them with water. Like, yeah! And that's very nice because the Lakers have had, honestly, a pretty uninspiring bubble. They beat the Clippers on the opening night, and since then it's been rough going, and they've been miserable and shot terribly. This is a feel-good win for them over the Nuggets bench. Like, the Nuggets bench kept them honest. It was PJ Dozier and Katabase Diop along with Bol Bol and Mason playing his face off. Again, so much credit for Mason Plumlee in this game. they played really well. They pushed them, but it's pretty funny that the Lakers had to make a big deal out of getting past them. They're not going to take Denver seriously in a matchup. That can work to your advantage, or that could be a problem. LeBron's Cavaliers didn't take the Pacers seriously, and they almost knocked them off. There have been teams that have snuck up on LeBron before. 2009, LeBron's Cavaliers did not take the Magic seriously. That was a much different LeBron. He's older now. He's more experienced. He will see it coming. It's whether or not the rest of that team takes him seriously enough or not. That's going to have to be the way Denver gets it done, is that they don't take him seriously. Denver shocks them in game one. They think, okay, fine, we're going to win game two. It's okay. And then Denver wins game three. That's the only real path for them to win this a series versus the Lakers. They have to shock them out of the gate in one and three. All that said, I think it's tight. I think it's close. I think they get better at playing this team every time that they do. I think this Nuggets team does adapt to you the more that they play you. I think they get better at playing you. I think they get better at beating you. And I think with MPJ, they have weapons now to where they can compensate for a little bit of the offensive firepower. They drug the Lakers into an offensive slugfest tonight. That's what they want. If you're going to beat the Lakers, you're not going to beat them with defense. This is one of the best defenses in the league. You don't want some grinded out affair. You want to be absolutely brutal. You want it to be up and down and fun, and you want it to be a finesse game. And the Lakers are showtimey enough to get caught up in that a little bit. I don't think Frank Vogel wants that. I don't think Michael Malone wants that. But I do think that they can win those kind of games. I think the Nuggets can outscore the Lakers. I don't know if they can beat them four times in a series. And that's where it remains. And that's why this matchup has been tough and will continue to be difficult. But you should not at all be frustrated by this loss. This was not... I don't believe that the Nuggets lost this game on purpose. I definitely think they tanked the last possession where they threw an inbounds pass to Bol Bol under the basket down three. There was no way they were going to go to overtime. I think Malone knew, like, okay, look, we had our chances. Couldn't get it done. That guy hit a good shot. We can't go to overtime because I can't put the starters back in now. I got no one else to play. I have literally no one else to play. I have to keep playing the bench. The bench has already played 12 minutes or 15 minutes. I'm going to be at risk of injuring the bench. And now you have the other problem where your starters might come back later and the bench is hurt. So the right decision was made. It was fine to lose this game. I do think that this game continues to show that even when they do all these things right, like they did all these things right, they had a great opportunity and they still couldn't win. And yes, it was versus the bench, and that's why it's like, yeah, it's kind of funny that you guys are all excited about it. The Nuggets definitely, they didn't throw this game. They didn't tank this game. It's very important to note there's no real advantage for them in losing. It doesn't, everyone's kind of thinking that they're trying to avoid the Mavericks, and I got news for you. If Utah loses to, OKC loses to, both of them lose two, and the Mavericks win out, the Mavericks can be as high as five. We'll get into all the scenarios in the last segment. But I do think it's worth noting that there wasn't a real clear incentive for them to pursue a loss in this situation. This isn't like last year versus Portland. This really was just a matter of, you know, they had to try and protect their players to a certain degree. Real quick, I want to tell you guys about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, models, etc., it's impossible to stock all the parts that you need for your car. You go into the shop, you're talking to the guy, and you're like, oh, I need this part. And he's like, that part doesn't go for this car in our system? And you're trying to figure it out, and he's got to order it, and that's all these things. That's complicated. Skip all that. Just go to rockauto.com, okay? It's a family business. It's got the same price that you are going to see for everything. There's not different tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers like there is at some places. It does not require membership or a login. You just shop the site and get the parts that you need. Its catalog is unique and it's easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. You get to choose at rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. We will be right back. We're going to go ahead and in the final segment, I will let you know what the standings and scenarios are. If you're wondering who are the Nuggets going to play, wish I could tell you. If you have an idea, please let me know. But I will break down all the scenarios, etc. in the final segment of Locked On Nuggets. We'll be right back. Guys, if you're in Colorado, $1 million is up for grabs in the sportsbetting.com Pro Football Pick'em Contest. Entry is 100% free, and I can confirm there are no strings attached because, well, I've entered the contest myself. All you have to do is make 16 picks against the spread and 16 over-under picks for the NFL Week 1 games. If you're curious, I think absolutely we're going to have the NFL. I don't see any way that those games are not played. If all your picks are correct, you're going to walk away with $1 million. And by you, I mean me, because I know who's going to win, including my Kansas City Chiefs versus the Texans night one. That's right, Broncos. Not so sure. And check this out. If no one wins the $1 million grand prize, sportsbetting.com is guaranteeing a $10,000 prize pool to the top five finishers, with first place getting $5,000 cash. Enter the $1 million contest by visiting sportsbetting.com/LockedOnNuggets. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnNuggets. All right, final segment here on Locked On Nuggets. After the Nuggets 124-121 loss to the Los Angeles Lakers in their third to final game of the 2019-20 season, which we started, I want to remind you, 11 months ago? 9 months ago? Somewhere in there. Many months ago, we started this season, and now here we are, almost reaching the playoffs. What a weird year it's been, as an understatement. Let me tell you where the Nuggets stand as of right now. So, let's start at the top picture here. So the Los Angeles Lakers have clinched the number one seed. They cannot go any further. They are locked into the one. They will have home court throughout the Western Conference playoffs. The Clippers are currently second. They have a 1.5 game lead on the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are then in third, followed by the Houston Rockets, which are one game out. The Thunder are behind them, 2.5 games out. The Jazz are behind them, 2.5 games out. The Mavericks are behind them, 4 games out from the Nuggets. The Grizzlies, Blazers, and a whole bunch, and the Kings, no, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, the Suns, and the Spurs are all battling for the 8th seed in the Western Conference. That has no bearing on the Nuggets whatsoever. Here's what does have bearing. With the loss tonight, the best winning percentage that Denver can come out with if they win the next 2 games is 0.658. Okay, think of that number in your head, 658. This is why this matters. Denver still controls their destiny for a top 3 seed. If they win versus the Clippers and versus the Raptors in the final game of the season, they will absolutely finish with a better record than the Houston Rockets, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They already have clinched a better record than the Utah Jazz. The Mavericks and Jazz cannot pass them. So we're really talking about, are the Nuggets going to finish ahead or behind the Clippers, ahead or behind the Rockets, ahead or behind the Thunder? The Thunder have a very, very, very narrow path to moving up in any sort of scenario. They also cannot pass Denver. So Denver's minimum, the worst case, if they lose versus the Raptors and Clippers, the worst that Denver can finish is fourth. Okay? They're either going to be second, third, or fourth. The Jazz and Thunder have to be behind them because OKC lost on Monday. So now their best is 0.625. The Nuggets' best is 0.630. So the Nuggets will absolutely finish versus the Thunder and the Jazz. Okay. So it's down to really Rockets and Clippers. Which one of those teams is going to wind up facing each other in the second round if they advance? And which of those teams is going to wind up facing the Lakers in the second round? The only way that the Houston Rockets can surpass the Nuggets is if the Nuggets lose one okay, then the Rockets have to win out. They have to win their final three games. If the Nuggets win out, the Rockets cannot pass them. If the Nuggets lose both of them, then the Rockets can lose one game and still pass them, but they can't lose two. So that's the breakdown of where that stands, is if you're looking at trying to figure out how those things are going to work out, that's where it comes into play, is the Clippers are going to face the Nuggets, and then I think the Thunder in their final game. The optimum path, if you want the best case scenario, I will lay this out for you. The best case scenario is that the Nuggets win out, the Clippers lose out, and the Rockets win out. What that means is that Denver moves to 2, Houston moves to 3, the Clippers slide to 4. Not kidding. Not even kidding here. It is still possible for the Houston Rockets to move to the 3rd spot, the Nuggets to get the 2, and for the Nuggets and Rockets to avoid playing both of the Los Angeles teams that the Lakers and Clippers would have to face in the 2nd round, which would make TV executives just livid. And that is enough for all Nuggets fans to root for. That instead of the Western Conference Finals of the LA versus LA teams, instead in Orlando, they get either Lakers or Clippers versus Nuggets or Rockets or some sort of, you know, crash the party team out of the Western Conference. So what's the most likely scenario? I think the most likely scenario is probably the Nuggets go 1-1, right? So if they beat the Clippers, they can rest versus the Raptors. They will have secured a 6.44, and that's pretty good. And Toronto doesn't have anything to play for, so they could probably win. But let's say that the Clippers beat them, and the Raptors don't play anybody, and the Nuggets play starters, and they win that game. Okay, they'll have the throttle down. And usually I like the letdown effect, but in that game, I like the team that's actually motivated to play for something and not just trying to get through the game. So let's say the Nuggets go 1-1. They get to 6-4-4. What that means is they cannot pass the Clippers. The Clippers will have to finish above them. The question is, what happens with the Rockets? Tomorrow is very big. Houston plays San Antonio. You want to root for the San Antonio Spurs. I think that's who you want to root for. Because if the Clippers, you can't reasonably expect the Clippers to lose their final two games. That's just not reasonable to happen. The Nuggets can win one, but then the Clippers will probably win another one. It's just hard to get both of those losses. It's still on the table, but I think it's safer for you to go ahead and say, let's put Houston into the Lakers bracket, right? So let's hope for the Spurs to win tomorrow, which knocks the Rockets down to 0.639. If the Nuggets were to win versus the Clippers on Wednesday, they go to 6-4-4. And guess what? That means they're locked. The Nuggets are a top 3 seed. That works out perfectly. Then they don't have to worry about what the Clippers do. That's fine. Like, that's the ideal scenario, is that the Rockets lose one, Nuggets win one, and that gets you pretty close. Like, yes, the dream scenario is that the Clippers fall to 4, but I don't think that that's very likely. You may also think that you would rather play the Rockets. Or you might want to avoid the Rockets. That's fine, too. Let's talk first-round opponents. So the most likely scenario, I think, is that the Nuggets wind up in the 3 spots still, right? The Rockets lose one game, the Nuggets win one game, and they're 3rd. The Clippers win one game, and they wind up in the 2nd spot. That the status quo right now is the most likely scenario. Okay, this has been holding for a while. It's held for most of the season. This is the most likely scenario. I think what you want to do there is be very careful of the Mavericks. I will say this again. I've said this whole year. Adam's very confident, I think, in their ability to beat the Mavericks. I'm worried. Okay, the Mavericks have shown defensive life at spots, but the bigger problem is just they could shoot the lights out. You just don't want to run into a series where you cannot believe that they're hitting all these shots. Okay, you're not going to get that versus OKC, and you're not going to get that versus Utah. Utah shot the lights out in that first half on Saturday. It didn't matter because they were going to regress. They will always, the Jazz will have a reasonable outcome. The Thunder will have a reasonable outcome. The Mavericks and Rockets are high variance teams that will have a wide range of outcomes. And some nights they'll be awful, and some nights they'll be red hot. And there will be all of this momentum with Luka Doncic, and everyone will be talking about him, and it'll be like, can they pull off the upset, even though everyone thinks that they're better? I personally would not want to play the Mavericks. I would want OKC or Utah. Like, if Utah slides to 6, that's perfect. Like, that works out great. If it's Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets, Thunder, Jazz, which right now it is. If things stay the quid pro quo, status quo, that's what the matchups will be. That's perfect. Denver gets Utah, and Joker can flambe Rudy Gobert for six games. They move on to the second round, and they face the Clippers, and we'll see what happens then. And you likely put the Mavericks in the way of the Clippers, which the Mavericks don't want that matchup. Their fans are like, no, Kawhi just destroys Luka. One, probably good for Luka to go through some hardships, but two, if that doesn't happen, if the Mavericks just shoot the lights out, then the Clippers might have some pressure, and they might go deep. All of these playoff scenarios are not as complex as they were last year, even though the bubble is obviously weird. They're not as complex. There's no real benefit to tanking. There's no real benefit to sliding down. You're not going to have home court. 2 versus 3 doesn't matter. 4 versus 5 doesn't matter. 3 versus 6 doesn't matter. You know, it's if you're 2, 3, 6, 7, that's all the same. The only difference is 4 or 5. But I will say that, again, even though they played the Lakers really well tonight, I still think that that's the worst matchup for the Nuggets. I still think that's the one that they need to avoid. And I'll be very interested to see how they play versus the Clippers on Wednesday. That's a potential second round matchup. That's got implications for seeding. That's a game it would be great to see everybody. If you're curious about the injuries, there's been no status update. Malone after the game was basically like, I don't mean to be cold, but we can't wait for those guys. We got to keep going. There's no telling when they're going to be back. I have no update for you on Barton or Harris. I have no intel on Barton or Harris. They're hurt. They thought they'd be back by now. They're not. There's no timeline for their return. It's worrisome. But the Nuggets have weapons. They have MPJ. They're figuring stuff out. They're still very dangerous, as they showed versus the Lakers. Another moral victory, but all things considered, not something to cry over. We'll be back on tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Nuggets to get ready for that Clippers game, to get you set for the final two games of the regular season as we head down the stretch and prepare for the 2020 NBA playoffs. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for your support. I got so many comments about the last show, and I'm so grateful. I really appreciate it. Feel like the show is hitting its stride, with me at least. It's been great. I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you guys again soon with another edition of Locked On Nuggets.